Hello and welcome to episode 37 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And tonight I am joined by a man, Russ, from Scotland Surrey. How is the man?
That was simple and unabusive and quite unexpected from you, Chris, given your probable mood today.
Well, my mood's not ideal. I'm feeling awful. My young lass had a cold last week. I think it kicked off about Wednesday, Thursday. And then the missus got it over the weekend, and then I started to get it. So if my voice starts to go on this one, I apologise. There is going to be a fair bit of, obviously, with it being a podcast, it's going to be a fair bit of chatting. So we'll see how we get on towards the end of the podcast. You might have to take the load. So I apologise for listeners' ears having to listen to extra Russ. But we'll see how we got on. So let's just very quickly, Russ. Game week last weekend, how did you get on? You didn't have much players in action?
It was a Scottish Cup. So... Yeah. I've kind of stuck by my mantle of using Scottish players only. I did throw a mishmash team into the underdogs just to keep an eye on some guys. More actually in relation to selling them for their price. Obviously, it wasn't going to be anything to do with the challenge. Anything that I won, etc., was going to be just irrelevant. I would have basically sold said card if I'd won anything and just withdrawn it. It would have been exempt. But yeah. It's still more for me, still more about swapping over my gallery, getting a few more of those premium sort of Scottish cards in. Still doing a lot of wheeling and dealing, so I'm doing a lot of trading at the moment. And I did an update on the Scotland Surrey website. I think it's week 3 of Last Resort FC. So if anybody wants to read about it and find out what we're doing, what we're winning, you can read about it all there. But that is actually pretty much my that's my lot.
Yeah, to be honest, I was fairly sparse as well, having a mostly Scottish gallery. But I'm looking forward to this weekend, getting back to a full quota of players available to select. And I think this weekend is the last of the current formats before we head on to the new capped modes. So obviously last Monday, our new recording day being Monday, Surrey haven't adjusted their calendar yet to coincide with that, Russ, because they did an update on Tuesday, obviously thinking we would comment on the following day. I'm assuming that's why they did it, and they just need to catch up. The new date, guys, is Monday night recording. So if you want to do any updates for us to comment on, do it then. We did contemplate briefly doing a quick kind of 20-minute catch up on it because it felt quite important, but we thought we'd let the dust settle on it and see where everybody's heads actually were at that point. So let's first and foremost, before we go into the negatives of the update, Russ, obviously they introduced a kind of new pathway for onboarding as such, but it's not just a new pathway for onboarding, it's a new pathway for all users, I would say. So I'm just going to, I've got the cap modes here. So obviously we were all aware that we're going to be getting the cap 240, which was going to be the one where the thresholds are attained. And that was going to be put across all the scarcities. And it was, what was it, $5 for the limited one, $50 for the rare, $100 for super rare, and then $250 for unique rust, was it?
I think it was the numbers.
I think it was like that. But what they didn't tell us was there was going to be a couple of new competitions that were going to be in place, and that is Cap 220 and Cap 270. So the good thing about this is there is actually going to be a great pathway for all users. So if you're playing in the new Cap 220, for instance, Russ, as you pointed out beforehand, this is almost the underdog competition, really, isn't it? So you're able to use four of the scarcity that you're playing in. So if you're playing in the limited one, for example, you're going to be able to play with four limited cards and one common card, which is quite good, because that means, if you are a brand new user, without having to go and buy a goalkeeper, you're going to be able to, get involved with using one of your common cards and just four outfields, for example. And for the rares, it's the same, but it's not a common card you can use, it's a limited one. So basically, you're able to use one card of the scarcity below that entry one, which I think is really good, because obviously there's been a lot of people concerned that, they're not going to have a playing goalkeeper to, to be able to achieve the thresholds. Well, now, you're able to still work on building up your gallery by, trying to win cards in this new 220 competition, Russ. So I personally think that's a bit of a win. I don't know what your initial thoughts on that one were.
Well, again, to be honest with you, I didn't see it coming in relation to being released at the sort of the start with the capped modes. I said probably about 5-6 weeks ago in a little group chat that I've got just with some of the local guys that I've mentioned a few times, that I said, look, you know, Underdog going, they have to keep a progressive sort of pathway or route somehow. And I didn't think we'd seen the last of the Underdog. Now, for me, as I say, it almost replaces Underdog. I like it. I've just read up on it again tonight. Obviously, I read it last week, digested the bits that I thought were relevant to myself. I've looked at it again tonight, thinking about, obviously, the other people that I try and help or the people that I try and give advice or that ping us both messages on Twitter and on social media. And I just see it as a complete win. So, tip the hat to Time on this occasion. It's fair enough. It's good. It keeps everybody involved. It does seem to provide a progressive route. What the number of prizes will be will remain to be seen. I wouldn't expect it to be particularly heavy in number. I would think that, you're hoping that for the first, certainly your podium places, that the prizes will be decent and really allow that person to make an immediate jump. And then maybe if there's another, I don't know, say 30 or 40 prizes, you would think that maybe the next 10 would be able to start to make sort of progression into either the next scarcity or to seriously strengthen up towards the next capped mode. So all good in that respect.
Yep.
It slightly reminds me, and there'll be some users, obviously, that have just sort of onboarded in the last 6 to 9 months that have been, fully immersed in Underdog and enjoyed playing the game without the rare goalkeeper. It slightly reminds me to an extent of what we'd maybe kind of hoped for when you were used to be able to use a common goalkeeper in All-Star Rare or Global.
Yeah.
So it's kind of maybe taken a slight step back, but in a positive way to what we'd maybe hoped we'd have rolled out back then. I like the idea that, for example, I suppose just from the purely selfishly here, but, I've seen a couple of friends that have had goalkeepers either retire or move clubs or, just have, transfer rumours that have totally depreciated their sort of card values. Well, for the Cap 220 mode, if that's the case, having a limited goalkeeper and 4 rares, I think that's going to give them quite a boost in the fact that they're maybe not down to, say, 1 or 2 teams if they only had, 15, 20 cards in the gallery. They're maybe back able to contest 2 or 3 things at the weekend. So, yeah, I you know what? Tip my hat, clap my hands, hats off, happy days.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a result. I mean, just to look at the cap on it or the details, it says you can use any players. There's a 220 cap points. There is no XP or captain score bonuses in that 220. However, that's kind of irrelevant because you're not playing, you're going to be playing against the other managers here. So everybody, it's a level playing field. You're not aiming to get to a certain score to win a threshold in that one. So I think that one's really good. I'm really quite excited for that one. Obviously, the fact that if you're playing in the limited one, you could use one common. So you could pick your goalie wisely when you're doing your drafts, to get some really quality players that you could put into there. So moving on from there, the cap 240, which we're all aware of, I'm sure by now, that has to be all 5 of the same scarcity, as you would imagine. Any players, 240 point cap and no XP bonuses, and that's your threshold. So that's hit the 250 and you're going to get the threshold. The good thing about in that one, and in the 270, which we're going to come to in a moment, is you can win cards from the higher scarcity in that. So that's kind of like, obviously, with Specialist, where you were winning, there was an opportunity to win the rare cards in the limited one. And again, win the super rares in the rares. And it's going to be the same if you're playing in super rare, you've got the potential to win a unique card. So this is real progression in terms of being able to build your gallery and move on to the higher one. Now, again, what those numbers look like, I guess we're going to see over time. I suspect that when it first launches, it might not be as many prizes as it ends up, because we do know how slow things can be a lot, to progress. But I'm quite excited to see that one, Russ. The next one is, the next new one was the Cap 270. And again, it's 5 of the same scarcity, a 270 point cap, But in this one, your XP bonus applies, and there's also a captain bonus of 50% there as well. So a 270 point cap does open up, you know, a lot of players to be able to be used. So that one's going to be probably more highly contested, I would say, Russ, because, you know, some of the big players are still going to have an advantage in that one. But having the 50% bonus, as we've seen in Underdog, I mean, when that week when I came fourth, it was because my captain got 100 points. And it meant I had nearly 150 points from them. So that's where it comes in key when, you know, when you're selecting your captain in that one. But for me, again, these three leagues are all going to be level playing fields as far as I can see. You know, it doesn't matter how big a gallery you're up against. You know, if you've selected your five as best you can within your cap, you've got every chance of winning a prize. So I'm quite excited to see how these roll out. And I think it's not this weekend, but next, I think, or next midweek, sorry, I think that they come into effect. I think they said like 31st of January, I think, when it launched. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be quite good. And I just said to you just before we pressed record that I'm thinking that I might not actually play Challenger Europe now, and I might actually play the capped modes instead. But I think that might have a knock-on effect, because you might get less entries in some of these other competitions now, meaning there's more chances. So it's up to you to decide which of those competitions you're going to enter, because it's going to open up the opportunities to try and win in all these different competitions. So I'm excited about them, Russ, and I think there's real progression within those.
Yeah, just pretty much agree with everything you've said there. Again, my thoughts, obviously, just on the 240, well, that's what we knew what was coming. I think probably the only thing that probably wasn't originally mentioned was the fact that you could win cards from higher scarcity. So again, that's basically just building on what they've tried and tested with other competitions. Good to see. Quite happy about that. And I don't really see any cause for kind of moan or concern there across the board. The cap 270, again, it's just, you know, it's kind of come out of nowhere. That really is, it's allowing for, and I suppose it's addressing, you know, when the initial sort of announcement came out, there were quite a lot of people in relation to the cap 240 were, I suppose, if they had invested, you know, if you're sitting with, we'll use Challenger Europe, for example, and say you're sitting with, you know, Lord Vanaken and Rob Schuffs and Steph Peters, and you know, you put those three in, that's your 240 points. You're playing, you know, you don't have any more points to play with because of their high averages over the last 15 or whatever. But yeah, this 270 allows for a little bit more movement, which I like. Obviously, the fact that it is still capped means that there is a limit on obviously just what you can throw in there, which kind of hems it in a little bit. They have addressed, again, because there was a lot of noise about it, as we both know, XP. I've had this card for a year. I've been training it religiously, put it into training every week. I've spent the time. I've nurtured the card, you know, grown the card. And then, obviously, the captain bonuses as well. So to see that, they've now addressed the fact that, well, if you do want to use your cards for that, we've got a mode for it, or a game mode, whatever you want to class it as.
Yeah.
I think you're right. You may see a filtration, which is going to be quite good, and filtration can only be good in the fact that if there's more competitions and there's more places to use your cards, then you're maybe up against less competition in other areas. So if you are, say you've, you know, you've got your all-star team or your global team, which is primarily European-based, and you've got some good either, you know, America's cards or Asian cards that you've had for a while, and you've just been kind of tweaking the gallery and stuff, then you're maybe going to find that those cards have just become a little bit stronger again, because there are more competitions. I suppose specifically for me, so I'm looking at it, obviously I've been doing this challenge where I'm only using the either nationality Scottish cards or the Scottish Premiership cards. And I was sitting looking at it going, right, okay, obviously my exception to the rule was I was probably going to run an MLS team. I was going to try and make it as Scottish as possible, but I know fine well there's no goalkeeper, and you know there are about three or four cards in total just in right across the East and Western conferences. So I'm looking, thinking, okay, so what kind of play? I could play, you know, All-Star, I could play Challenger, I could play Under-23s, and I could play MLS. sitting there looking maybe just 3-4 weeks ago thinking, have I actually spread myself maybe not too thin in relation to my options, but too thin in relation to what I can enter, which is a completely different problem. But what I thought about it, you know, when having seen that, I'm thinking, right, well, theoretically, I'm now looking and thinking, right, okay, well, there's a 220 team, a 240 team, a 270 team, Challenger Europe, maybe one of the pro teams. I have really addressed myself in the fact that my super rares are quite weak. I've been buying and selling and obviously losing a couple of main under 23 European cards that I can't use this year within my challenges really weakened me quite considerably. And I'm now looking, thinking, what can I actually play? But again, it's just opened up a few more options for me. And I'm now looking, thinking, instead of being back down to maybe 3 or 4 teams, maybe I can play 6. So yeah, that's positive for me. Yeah, and I'm guessing there'll be loads of guys in similar situation.
I would agree. It'll probably depend on the prize pool. I think we both look at the prize pools to decide what competitions we're going to enter as well. So we'll see what numbers those are looking at. But I'm quite keen to have a nosy at those, Russ, when those figures come out. But yeah, I think it's overall very positive from that, and I think that's going to be, you know, there will, I've no doubt, and I haven't really seen it, but I've no doubt there will be gripes that will be like, oh, but the big galleries can play more competitions and win more prizes with the capped competitions. I don't think that's entirely fair, because I do feel that the cap does create a level playing field to an extent. Do you know what I mean? You can't go in with a full team, as you say, of some of these superstars. You're going to have to find the right strategy, which I think maybe next week we'll probably talk about maybe a little bit about the strategy around how we're looking at maybe selecting our 240 team for thresholds. I think might be we focus for that just before it launches. But as it stands, I think, you know, most of those things were all very positive. Now, let's move on to the less so positive, and probably the one thing that's been the most negative feedback on Twitter easily, and that has been the change to the when the game week deadline will be. So obviously at the moment, UK time, it's 11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday and a Friday. That is going to change to 3 p.m. on a Tuesday and a Friday. Now, on the surface, you'd think, is it a big deal? Does it make much of a difference? You know, and it just means that I don't have to, you know, take a wee bit of time away from work. I've got more time to build my team for the day and things like that. However, what it does do is it creates a problem with the Champion Asia Leagues, because I did read it. There is 11 game weeks in the K-League specifically that are now going to be split, because a lot of the games are played on a Friday morning at 5 a.m. or 11, between like 5 a.m., 11 p.m., 11 a.m., all these kind of different time frames. But now the ones that are kicking off at 11 our time are no longer going to be counted in your normal weekend. So that's now going to mean that your team is effectively split. If you've sat there and planned out your team, there's a chance that in 11 different game weeks, you can't enter a team because the players that you've picked are not going to be available to play in those ones. And that's a real problem. And that's obviously what happened over the World Cup. They did it with the Spanish leagues without any care or consideration to people who had built teams specifically for that time, like myself. But then they also did it with the Scottish games. When the Scottish league came back, there was big games, like I think it was the Celtic game and the Rangers game, weren't included in it because, you know, they just decided that the game week started at a different time. And it seems to be, once again, another case where if you've planned around something and the goalposts completely change, it's just tough luck and you've just to accept it. Now, within the platform, there is a lot of, you know, if it doesn't affect me, I don't care. You know, I don't have any Asia players in my gallery at the moment. I did plan on getting them, but now I'm going to have to sit and really think, am I going to go ahead and pick those players up? Or am I now fully going to look at Americas? Because now, you know, I don't have to worry about game weeks getting split if I'm playing in the MLS. So it does create an unfair situation for people that have planned, in my opinion, around this. I remember that this is one of the reasons I came away from the J-League originally, Rusp, has been because when we first started a couple of years ago, that was about the time frame for it getting entered, wasn't it? It was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it was 5 o'clock, wasn't it? The deadline was. But they've gone back the way to almost penalising people. And what the reason for that may be is anybody's guess, you know, whether it's, you know, to tie in with the New York office, because now it's 9 a.m. Central Time that it's that the deadline is. So does that help tie in with the America office? Or is it more to do with, you know, if the Premier League's pending, we're fully aware that the, because if you sit and watch Sky Sports News at any time on a Friday, you see the press conferences. So it'll be adjusting preemptively for the Premier League coming in, because we all know it's on the cards. So we're preemptively moving for that. Or is it because of the outrage when Mbappe didn't play, you know, a couple of months ago because the deadline, you know, it came out about 12 o'clock that the press conference said he was out. So are we adjusting purely for the European market, but then disregarding a market that's been there since early doors? For it. And yes, you know, we're aware, as we discussed on last week's podcast, the license for the J-League still seems to be up in the air. So is this maybe a sign that that's not going well and they're looking to shift away? I don't know, but I don't like that there's no real consultation with some of these things. It's just arbitrarily, bang, here, this is what's happening. We'll listen to your feedback, but whether we do anything or not, it's a different element. I just think it's pretty harsh on the guys who have sat and planned, you know, built these J-League teams, built the K-League teams, and now, you know, one third of the time in the K-League, you may not have a full team. Not particularly fair. My opinion, Russ, but what's yours? You don't care. Right, on to the next subject. He held up a sign there, guys. He says, everybody who's played Champion Asia, tough luck. That's what his sign actually said. I had a couple of swear words in it as well, but I won't read those out.
Wow, defamation of character, just like that, eh? Well, you've maybe not been visually recording this, but I have. No.
I always visually record when I've... never mind.
No. Chris is lying, first and foremost. No. I openly said probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago that I probably wasn't going to. I've not had much success in the Asia competitions. I think I've run a couple of teams over the course of the year. I think I basically just had maybe about seven cards. Both years I've played it. Didn't do a lot of trading in it. Didn't do a lot of research. Didn't subscribe to any Patreons or anything like that. I basically just built a couple of, they weren't even full stacks, they were just probably three out of the five stacks. I can't even remember some of the players. Takahashi, Ominami, I think I had a couple of the Reiso boys, I had Savio, guys like that. So I didn't touch the K-League at all. However, I'm fully aware when this game started, there was the J-League, there was the K-League, there was the Jupiler, and I think it was the Russian, I'm sure that was the first four. Don't quote me on it, but I know that those four were all definitely in early doors, you know, when I first started playing, which was just, a couple of months ahead of yourself. So for the guys that have been in from day one, and these are your founder members, you know, your fucked membership, or, you know, if you were playing FIFA, but these are your founder members on Surreir, and I know a lot of guys have ran primarily sort of Asian galleries as their main galleries. So, yeah, I completely understand why they're feeling a little bit pissed off, to be honest. I've not really probably looked fully at the fixture base for the K-League, being as honest as I can be, because it doesn't affect me and I've no plans to buy any cards from it, and I've no plans to kind of invest or try there. I don't know if it affects the J-League in relation to timings. However, I do still have some J-League cards. I've been swithering over the last couple of weeks whether to play it or not. I've actually made a decision that I'm not going to play Asia, and that I will, you know, just fully concentrate my resources on my Scottish Gallery and also the MLS, which I plan to put, you know, quite a strong, rare squad together for that. So, yeah, I don't know what I don't know why. Like you say, there was no consultation. There's not been really an awful lot out there. I've seen quite a lot of noise, and I think it was with relatively sort of valid reason. I know that there have been sort of individuals out there that have kind of discarded it or discounted it and said, well, do you know what, we're catering for the masses that are coming. Well, that's fine and well, but what about, you know, looking after the people that have, you know, been here since day one and helped build your product? And I'm a firm believer that you should reward your sort of and look after your long-standing and repeat customers rather than ahead of your new customers. I think, you know what it boils down to? It's like, I don't know about you, Chris, but it sort of really irritates me when I see something like, you know, like Sky TV, you know, new customer, you get 6 months free, you know, or six, well, not 6 months free, but you get 6 months half price, realistically, for joining Sky tomorrow if you're not an existing customer. And I'm sitting, well, where's my 6 months free? I've been with you for 11 years. You know, where's my 6 months discount? So again, it kind of smacks of the same sort of mentality here for me. Obviously, having been sort of marketing background and things, et cetera, that I kind of came from for a good period of time, does it fit well with me? I can kind of see maybe why they're doing it, because as I say, if you are spending that money for licensing in relation to the English Premier League, the game will need the kickback. It will need the user base, etc. So we'll see where it goes, and we'll see if there maybe, you never know that. I'm not sure if there could be any, I don't know if there could be maybe a different time scale or a different sort of deadline for Asia. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, if that's possible or not.
Yeah, if it was for specifically the Asia competitions, you could maybe introduce that. But what about where there's an all-star team? And as you say, you've got, you know, three MLS players and two K-League. How would you have to have an arbitrary figure at that point. It just seems like it wasn't necessary to change it. The only reason I could really think that they're changing it is, you know, this is maybe to fall in line with, you know, the Premier League coming in. Or something to that effect. It does cater to the European market more than that, than the Champion Asia ones. I just think it's grossly unfair that, you know, this is, you know, there are, as you say, loyal users who have been on board for a long time and are, you know, have spent a lot of time researching and are now almost being penalised for it. So, I'm hopeful that we get a little bit more of a comeback for it. But we will see. Now, Russ, I know we're recording, but I'm going to send you a screenshot just now because it's going to pertain to our next subject. And this one's just actually boiled my piss a wee bit. So I've just sent it over to you. Have a wee look at that, Russ.
It's a screenshot. We're on here. I'm hoping it's not you naked because I don't have a six-pack.
No. It's something that I think you need to see because it's a way to pertain to what we're about to discuss. And we are a way to discuss some of the affiliate stuff that's happened over the weekend. Obviously, Serena have done a big push. There's been you've seen a lot of kind of big accounts and big profiles that are, you know, from other genres, shall we say, whether it be, you know, FPL or some of the FIFA, you know, content creators and things, which is great. You know, try and get more people into the platform by getting these guys on board. Now, there's obviously been various ways and people are getting different incentives from them, you know, like, so you're seeing someone, the specific example I'm going to use, and I'm not picking on anybody and I'm going to explain my thought process behind it, but there was, is it Holly Shand? I had never personally, because I don't really get involved with the FPL stuff. I have no idea of anybody in that area. I see names when I look at the Apple podcast charts to see where we are and amongst the big dogs amongst the FPL stuff. So I see some names there, but it's a name that doesn't really mean anything to me, but it obviously does to a lot of people because she's got over 82,000 followers. I think it's 83,000 now. So that's a massive set of eyeballs that, you know, are going to see everything that's going on her profile. So obviously she got her kind of, you know, buy-in was she was sent, I think it was like six Liverpool players, all limited, as kind of, you know, the incentive to get on board. That's kind of like your marketing fee. Now, I've no problem with that. I have zero problem with that whatsoever. Now, there's obviously been a lot of people saying, well, did it have to be all Liverpool players? In my opinion, yes. Yes, it did have to be all Liverpool players because she's a Premier League based account. And that's the only Premier League team Liverpool have got on the Serena have got on the platform is Liverpool. So yes, it did. It had to be Liverpool. There was no two ways about that. Russ, you're from a marketing background, marketing and sales, you know, and I've been sales pretty much all my life apart from my current job. And it makes sense from a marketing standpoint to do something like that from Serena because it's minimal investment or minimal cost for them to give someone those cards. Now, granted, they might be worth, I think it was about £750. It's minimal investment for them to get that kind of a market of eyes looking at it. And there's the one I've just sent you, somebody with over 900,000 on their account. So again, these people are going to get an incentive to come on board on the platform. We've seen it happen on other ones. I have no problem with it. I've personally been approached by a marketing company to do some stuff for a different platform. And it's a substantial three-figure fee that they were offering me for doing it. So it's, I have no problem with that. That's what happens. And that's marketing. It's getting people on board in a specific market where there's going to be, you know, there's money, there's things like that. And I think that that's, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. So first and foremost, Russ, we'll address maybe, you know, obviously the incentivizing of people coming onto the platform. I'm not talking about what I've just sent you there. I'm talking about, you know, like giving someone six cards. Do you think that's smart business from Serena? Do you think it's a problem from it? I personally just think it keeps it within the platform. And so long as Serena get a return on investment, if they get people joining the platform because of that, I've no problem with that whatsoever. What say you?
Well, I'm going to take a slightly different standard sort of point to that because I do have a problem with it. And again, it's going to lead on to the whole thing. So I looked initially when I seen it. Now, I had heard of Holly Shand. Don't follow any of her stuff. Had heard of her. She's obviously got a huge following and has been on, I think, Sky Sports and writes columns and stuff and things like that. Fair enough. Mostly, I think, FPL related. I totally 100% get and back Serena to get all the people on board that they can that are influencers, content makers, content creators, whatever you want to class them as. For any product to succeed, regardless of whether it's Serena or whether it's you're selling a pair of shoes or a new car, whatever, the more eyes that you can get on a product, the better. And the best way to sell anything is by word of mouth. It's still stronger than anything, but word of mouth and reputation is the number one, you know, it's the number one route in advertising and marketing. Now, word of mouth also can include someone endorsing something, say, for example, on social media. So someone tweeting is technically, it's, I know it's social media, but it's word of mouth when someone's saying, this product's great, I use it, it's brilliant. Fair enough. So I had a little look at a bit more depth at the Holly Shand situation, and it's probably going to just exactly fall in line with what you've kind of got here. Again, I looked at her journey, both on Serena and her journey in relation to social media and Serena. So, like you say, she got the six Liverpool cards. They add up to roughly 0.72 in value. Quite a nice gift to get to start you off in the game. Holly joined, I think it was 20th of November, just before the World Cup competition, before the Global Cup, sorry. And admittedly, and fair play, she played match days 1-7 with her free cards. So she did, she played a lot and she changed her team. So it wasn't just a case of, you know, going in and out and or going in on week one and then it automatically being entered. There were changes and there was changes to the squad. However, game weeks 330 to 339. So I think in total, I think there was about seven game weeks or something in total. Sat with the common cards and two said prizes that she'd won from the common cards, which were the national series cards. Mm-hmm. And that was it in the gallery. Nothing. So you've had exposure to the product. You've played the product. Hopefully had some enjoyment from playing the product. So, you know, trying to take a kind of mutual sort of down the sort of middle standpoint on that. However, you've not invested in the product at this point. So you've not spent a penny. And you've let the World Cup end. And up until 4 or 5 weeks later, no action at all. No, you know, not even putting the common cards in for any of the other competitions, etc. So that, for me, that kind of breaks it down a little bit. Then the cards are awarded as rewards in Surrey. No idea, obviously, in relation to if that was signing on fee. I don't know, you know. Probably.
Yeah, I'm just to interject though, right? And because I think this is going to be a back and forth on this one rather than us both kind of just going on long ones. I think this is because I kind of want to just to touch on if, for argument's sake, you know, let's just say, because we've used an example before, but let's say you are a sportswear company and you approach footballer A and you say to him, I want you to wear our stuff, and we're going to pay you a fee to do so. Now, you're going to have negotiations back and forth, and that's going to take a bit of time, during which time, instead of wearing my Gibson brand, you're going to wear the Ross brand in the meantime, because that's what you've always worn. And, you know, my brand's going to sit there. I've sent you all the stuff, but you're not wearing it yet, because we're still in negotiations. And the negotiations are mainly about money, because that's, I want more money, you know, to wear this brand. What I don't see there being any difference in that. She's, you know, yes, she's not put her money into it. However, this is, you know, from outside looking in, this, you know, that's Surrey's payment to her to endorse the product. And that's what she has been doing on social media to an extent, which we're going to come to. But she has been trying to endorse the product that way. Now, yes, she's not played the product other than the World Cup. Would the time limit, you know, obviously trying to manage what she's doing and then having this put into there as well, that's a different story. Could that be the case? I'm not specifically looking to pick on one individual, but from a marketing point of view, this is minimal cost to Surrey to do that.
However, between the period in sort of November to 6 days ago, do you know how many tweets mentioned Surrey?
Probably none.
One tweet, okay? 6 days ago, and this is where I think this is really vastly unfair. And again, I get that someone has to be paid for a service or paid for promotion, etc. Totally get that, 100%. However, I'm delighted to announce that I'm partnering with Surrey. Fantastic. And I initially, when I first read it before, like looking into it deep, I was like, brilliant. And I liked the post, 100%. So self-admission here, I liked it. I tried it during the World Cup, and I'm seriously impressed with the product so far. Well, that's good, because you did try it during the World Cup, and that's fair enough. However, you weren't that impressed that you continued playing it for the six, seven game weeks after. However, I've already added six Liverpool players to my gallery. No, you haven't. You've been sent six gifts. You've not added nothing, because I've looked at your transactions on Surrey data, and you've not added anything. So you've been given something. So that's fine, but do we now have different tiers for, say, affiliates, where some of us, do you have to have a certain amount of followers or YouTube subscribers or likers to be getting gifts from Surrey to then either use or, you know, do with what you will? However, that's the first thing that kind of I'm looking at going, right, okay, the wording of that tells me that you've invested in the product because you're so impressed with it. Well, that's not the case.
Okay,
so
no,
that's open to interpretation. I get that. But
no, I get that. I think you're absolutely right. The wording of that is completely wrong. But I'm not specifically wanting to look at one individual with that, though.
No, no.
This particular individual, yeah, that's fine. That's the way they've worded
it. So just the example we can use, yeah, because it's all visually public.
Are others. There are 100% others. You know, the World Cup, they really did go for a lot of people because my son watches all these different social media, you know, not social media, but like, you know, YouTube stars like Sidemen and things like that. The various Sidemen individuals were doing their own videos just about a random subject so they could say that they're now partnering with Serrer. And all these guys with millions of followers, millions of subscribers are, you know, were advocating the product. Now, they were obviously getting something for that, though all of those were probably financial payments because I don't think any of those guys have continued on to it. But what they've done is, that's, you know, it's probably a modern way of mass marketing, because that's the way a lot of my son, as I said before, he's going to be 18 in June. I genuinely think he would do without having any form of television other than YouTube, because that's the way a lot of the kids these days, you've got your young kids as well, they're probably either on the Xbox playing their games or it's YouTube. Terrestrial TV and digital TV and everything's fallen away. So this is their new way of mass marketing, was to get all these guys on board. And the way I look at it, from an extent, if obviously it's going to be minimal cost to Serrer, but it is then keeping that money within the platform in case that individual then does fuck all with it. I know we were going to curtail it, but just to say, you know, what would be the incentive to give her £1,000 and say, go and endorse this product? Or do we give her £1,000 worth of our cards that if she doesn't use, she doesn't use? It's no skin off Serrer's nose. They're going to sit in a dormant account till the end of time, as we see some cards have done since the start of the platform. It keeps it within the platform. It's there. But
which is fine, but playing devil's advocate to that,
mm-hmm,
say said player who's given 6 or 7 cards, whether it's Holly or whoever it may be, you know, any of the rest of them that get this, you know, the luxury of this. We've got a user base. So what about, you know, Billy from Manchester or Joe from Glasgow or, you know, Bobby from London, Scott from Aberdeen, that sat and ploughed £300 into limited cards before Christmas in the hope that they can win prizes. And all of a sudden, they're in the pot against people who haven't spent a penny, and that's your competition. So say you've got a team and you're playing Champion Limited and you've went and spent £300 on what you look at and you think, you know what, I've bought a couple of Real Madrid players, bought a couple of Bayern players, and I've got a filler, you know, or whatever. And I don't know the values off the top of my head on these. But you've just spent that because you think, do you know what, I've put together a killer team here. I'm feeling really good. However, the more people they do this with, and I get that they need promotion and marketing, I completely get it, because every company does, because every product does. But in a way, are you not shitting in your own nest here? Because what will happen is that if you have all these influencers and people that have large followings, and let's be honest, the purpose of an influencer is to make and generate money for themselves through the work and the promotion that they do. These are money-driven people, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I know that they've all got an interest, whether it's music, sport, etc., you know, art, film, doesn't matter. You will have that natural interest, but it's money. It is money-driven. And when you become an influencer, you tend to only be an influencer. You aren't going to work on a bus like you or working in an accounts office like me or whatever. You know, you're not doing that anymore. You are primarily, you have that as your occupation. So it's money driven and it has to work for you. And I totally get that because everybody needs an income. We're living in tough times. Do you know what I mean? I get it. You know, I'm not asking her to sell her Salah card so she can pay her electric, anything like that. But in the grand scheme of things, if you piss off all your existing user base, that's the guys that are spending the money. That's the guys that are throwing £70 off their pay packet this month into Serrer, whether they're doing it through a ramp transaction or, you know what, they weren't going to spend anything, but do you know what, they've got their credit card attached and do you know what, they've just spotted, do you know what, I'll put £40 on, I'll buy that player and I'll just, you know, I'll pay 50, including the credit card fees for easiness rather than doing the ramp transaction. Ultimately though, that is user money, and that's general public money coming into the platform. Mm-hmm. In this game, Surveyor need, and 100% need, to sell players through auction.
That's what generates the income. That's
absolutely. So that funds everything. If you get lots and lots of people coming on board, but lots of people coming on board that very quickly establish that they don't feel they can win, you know, or I know that you can win, and I know that everybody can win, and it's right across the board. But if you have the feeling after 4 or 5 weeks maybe of playing, oh, I thought I could maybe win something, and you haven't, that person will stop spending money. That's the reality of it. We all know people. You know, we've got friends, we've got people that are on social media, we've got people that, you know, you meet down the dog and duck for a pint and you say, oh, you've not done a hen on Surveyor for a couple of months, whatever. You know, there are people that stay with the platform, there are people that are completely immersed. So we're people like you and I, we're immersed in the platform. Mm-hmm. We log in every day, multiple times a day. But on the flip side, I also know people that are in my little subgroups that will log into Surveyor maybe 3 times a month and forget, and they'll miss opportunities to sell high or, you know, to buy low. So again, I'm just a wee bit uncomfortable with it all. And I don't mean to pick on her. She's maybe none the wiser to an extent. But I think what you're way to bring up next is what's really probably pissed off the majority of the existing user base and to an extent some of the existing affiliates.
I think that's where we'll definitely agree. But just before we do move on, I think we're obviously looking at it. I think I still don't have a problem with it. And I get your points, and I agree with most, and I understand 100% where you're coming from on it. But they're going to give her a payment for it one way or the other.
I have to. I get that. Mm-hmm.
And I just think, isn't it better, you know, if we were to take out the fact that she said she picked up 6 Liverpool players or whatever the term was that was used, would it have sat better with you if she says, and you know, or she'd been given 6 players, whatever it might have been? But what if they had just given her 0.7 ETH in her wallet, says go and pick your own players?
Probably,
you know, it's still money in the platform, but you know what I mean. I'm just trying to use it as an example because
I get that.
It's you know, it's I don't see the difference in it. But what they've done is it's cost them next to nothing because it's just the minting of 6 cards.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, if those cards had went to auction, they would have got the money in from it that way. What have you? But in real terms, you know, it's cost them the minting of 6 NFTs. That's it.
Yeah. So it's the for me, it's the wording. I did say that. It's the wording of that tweet, for example.
It's misleading to her audience.
It's misleading, yeah.
And she's invested into the platform when she hasn't.
We're in agreement with that.
She's been paid to say that. On the whole, I don't have a problem with the way that they're paying for the marketing, like by doing it that way. I'd rather see it stay in the platform because, as I say, she doesn't use them or Joe Bloggs doesn't use them. It is what it is. You know, they just sit there dormant and they'll never get used. Tough, you know, it is what it is. Okay. Maybe some footballers can contact her and see if they'll trade for nothing. But we'll see. You know, that's one thing. So we've agreed to disagree, or we've kind of maybe seen each other's point on that one. And I think it's actually healthy because, Russ, in 37 episodes, I don't think we've had a proper back and forth about something. And I think it's probably, you know, people just think we're nodding dogs to each other, like, yep. But no, I think we were seeing it same but different, if that makes sense, I think is probably the best way to put it on that. Where I got really pissed off about something, and it's happened again tonight, which was what I just sent you as a screenshot, was where now all of a sudden we're doing giveaways for cards and incentivizing as part of the step process as to how you could win these cards is by signing up on your affiliate link, which is different from your referral link, but it is incentivizing someone to sign up to Surveyor using your link, which you will get paid a fee from when they're buying off the auctions. You'll get 10% of whatever that person buys off the auctions for 365 days, provided that they have bought a card within 30 days of signing up. Right. Okie dokie. So we've both seen examples of this in the past. I've certainly highlighted one because I was hacked off because I went to do it one time before and it was with a limited card or whatever it was way back at the start. And I was quickly shut down on that. And I seen somebody else do it. I highlighted it. And I know fine well that that person got a rap on the knuckles and told not to do it again. And now we are seeing all these same influencers who have come on board incentivizing signups with their affiliate link, which is 100% against the terms and conditions of being an affiliate. But it's being liked by Ty, however you pronounce it. And I'm sorry, Ty, if you're listening or you end up listening to these clips, because I have a funny feeling this isn't going to be a pleasant part of the podcast for a lot of people. That is incentivizing and breaking their terms and conditions. And these individuals are liking the posts. Brian O'Hagan, who was who did deal with the affiliates, has liked this other post that's went up tonight. And it's incentivizing people to sign up using that link. And it is breaking terms and conditions. Now, I've went and posted tonight, Russ. I don't know if you've seen it yet, because you're probably not. You're recording. I've just posted up saying, hey, I guess it's a free-for-all. Sign up on my link and I'll incentivize you all the way. And if it's one rule for one, it cannot, under any circumstances, be one rule for the others, regardless of number of followers or what have you. You know, they're followers in a completely different genre. You know, would you see the backlash on, you know, when a new content creator comes on, and specifically the one I sent you over, Russ, and it's good. You'll see it online, guys. You'll probably figure it out quite quickly where it is. But it's almost 1 million followers in from a FIFA trader. And that, if you go on when they signed up, it was nothing but backlash. You know, sell out. You know, you're doing this and you're doing that. It's a con, it's a scam, which we obviously know it's not. But that's the general feedback you're getting from these people. Now, we're going to allow them to incentivize people to sign up, whilst me and you, who are both affiliates, and I've had plenty of signups over the time, most of them anonymous, because I've not spammed my link anywhere. I've not gone on forums and spammed my link. When a new club comes on board or a new league comes on board and you see all the spamming that goes on, all these things, I've not spammed on them. Again, in the early days, I went to spam my referral link onto something and a very prominent member of the Serere community sent me a message just saying, be careful with that because A, it's not a good look, and B, you can get it blocked. And that was actually somebody that I don't think you're particularly fond of, but it was Mark, You'll Never Walk Alone, that sent me a DM about it. And just says, you know, I know you're trying to build your profile and things. It's not a good look. And do you know what? It's 100% right. It's not a good look. And it is against T's and C's to spam your link. And I've never done that. My link has only been on, it sits on my profile, never spammed it. And I put it in my videos. And it's on my videos that I've done on YouTube. And that's where I've had all my signups from. And it's not through spamming. It's not through incentivizing in any way, shape or form. I've done it because people then went and clicked on my link and thought, you know what, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'll go and use his link. You've had the same, Russ. You've had people that obviously within your, you know, your range of friends that have signed up through your affiliate link. You've also then had, you know, through your Scotland Surreal site, you know, you've got your advertising on there to be able to sign up. But we've never went and spammed it. And we've never went and incentivized it either. And now it's something we'd kind of mentioned when the, you know, I'd highlighted one to Surreal, was, you know, if this is what's going to fly, you know, you're like, I've got a ton of signed memorabilia here I could put up as incentives for people to sign up. We've both got loads of cards we could put as incentives to sign up, you know, buy a card off the market, sign up. And for everybody that signs up, you get entered into this competition and you get incentivized for it. And now Surreal are liking the posts. Prominent people within it are liking these posts that are breaking terms and conditions just because they've got X amount of follows. They're, you know, if I'm going to use a really stupidly random example. If Hulk Hogan signed up to Surreal and started spamming a link, you know, do you think his, say, like, I don't know how many followers he's got. Let's say he's got 10 million followers, Russ. Do you think that's going to suddenly, you know, it's, it doesn't bring any eyeballs. It's a completely different genre. Do you know what I mean? It's a completely different genre. And, you know, so we're allowing this to happen and liking these posts. And to me, it's a nonsense. It's an absolute affront to people who have brought people onto the platform legitimately without incentivizing, without, you know, urging them to sign up on the link so they can maybe win this card. I've never done that. I've done plenty of giveaways. Where I've usually, when I've won a £2 card or something like that, or where I've hit a milestone in terms of follows, but I've never used my code to spam on it. And I know you've got really strong feelings on it, so I'm going to give the floor to you whilst I take a drink because my voice is gone.
Yeah, the thing that's just got me is to say that, like you say, we've got this new tier of affiliates that are not working with the same numbers. You know, you've got, you know, I look at the Surrey landscape and you've got all the official accounts and you've got quite a few of the members of staff. You've mentioned a few of the names and stuff there that have got social media. They've got Discord and they've got Twitter as well, you know. Nicholas himself, you know, is quite active on Twitter. So you do have kind of an open forum to occasionally get response from these people, and they will respond every so often if it's something that's not probably quite trivial. We've then got, let's call it, the content creating community. That's guys like you, which primarily, you know, 10,000 Twitter followers or whatever, doing a lot of the budget and the entry level stuff and the card finding to help people with smaller resources financially. And then you've got, you know, your YouTube channel, and that's the two things that you use in the main. You've got people like me. So obviously I wanted to do something different. So I occasionally do YouTube, but not very often. But what I do have is a really up-to-date website that I update every couple of days. It's full of charts, stats, graph, but it's very specific. It's Scottish-based, and there's a small global section on it for other things. But it's primarily to help people in relation to all the cards that the Scottish game has to offer. I'm also active on Twitter, but not as active as you. And ultimately, I am branded as Scotland, so there will be people that naturally, you know, don't feel the need to like my or follow my page for whatever reason, maybe based on, you know, nationality, or it's just they don't feel it's relevant to them. So I get that. You've got other guys in as well, just naming them. You know, you've got John Nellis, you've got Quinny, you've got Harry Trades. I think there's a few other guys. That's the guys that I can think of off the top of my head that I know that make content. They make it content regularly by YouTube, by podcasts, things like that. Ultimately, we all probably, in truth, are catering for different marketplace, different customers, or, you know, different players, managers, whatever you want to call it, is different Surrey customers. By that I mean, ultimately, however, we're all in it, creating content to try and educate at whatever level. We're also there to try and support the brand at every turn, promote the good, and pull up the bad. Yeah, and try and give, as often as not, a balanced or a fair opinion. What I'm seeing now, and what I'm not particularly enjoying seeing, being honest, and it's by no means the monetization side of it, it's basically the fact, though, that we seem to have a super affiliate, which is this new breed of, I play FIFA and I'm on Twitch and I'm on YouTube, but like you say, it's a completely different marketplace. Yes, all the people, the common denominator is football. We get that. No shit, Sherlock. Do you know what I mean? This is obvious. But I know hundreds of people, and it is probably hundreds of people, that have played or play FIFA, whether casually or play it every night. And I know them from football training, from where I used to live, who I used to work with, just loads of people. We've brought up that we're in and now a society of that people between the age of 5 and roughly probably about 50 at the moment have been brought up in a gaming environment where it's a pastime, it's a hobby. Yeah, it's not for kids, it's a gaming environment. And I've spoke to loads of these people and they just have no interest in Surrey. They genuinely do. They play FIFA every night. And I've said to them, do you know what? You should have a look at Surrey. And they're like, that's not for me. And that's, in the same way, a lot of these people that are these FPL fans are the same people that every August log in, build a team, are counted in this 10 million user base. 10 million user base.
Sorry to interrupt us. We're watching the Aberdeen versus Darvel game at the moment in the background. And Darvel, I believe, have just gone... Oh, no, they've not. That's a replay from earlier. I thought Darvel had just went 2-0 up there, Russ. That's just a bit... Poor Weaselmont.
Just burst the bubble there. Yeah, sorry. No, just I'm just looking and thinking, you know, we work on numbers and marketing works on numbers and FPL. Do you know what? You're not telling me for 1 minute there are 10 million active users on Fantasy Premier League. Do you know what? Yeah. It's a lot of shit. There isn't. The reality is there are probably 10 million registered users and there are probably a high, high amount of that will have registered and put their teams in August. And after a month of playing, like what happens right across all these games, people go, oh, I'm miles behind, and they don't log in again until next August. And that's the same people, to an extent, that are now seeing all those posts. Now, I'm under no illusions here. There will be people that follow those people that sign up to Serea. Some of them will sign up and possibly play for free, and some of them may come along and spend. But when we're in a position, and like you've shown me the two posts, so there was out of the 8 tweets that, for example, and I'm not meaning as I say, it's not no witch hunter by any means, it's just it's the visual example that we can find. So there's Holly, and she is giving away a Noni Madueke of Chelsea card, formerly of PSV. She's giving that away as a prize. However, she, first and foremost, one, she doesn't own it. It's not in her gallery. And it's not in her Serea data transaction history. So she's given away a prize, first and foremost, that she doesn't own. How's that fair? And secondly, like you mentioned, she's incentivizing people in the fact that if you sign up, you could win it. There's no other ways to win this card. It's follow both her and the brand, Serea, retweet so that more and more people see it. And I get the purpose of that. But then it's join Serea and comment with your username. So join Serea and then let me know who you are that you've joined. Now, that isn't fair. And then you've shown me another one tonight. I don't know the guy because I'm not up to date. So I've actually lost the picture. Was it Fuck Sheriff?
Yep.
Where he's able to give away Lionel Messi. So like you've said, people have been... I remember about 6 months ago, around about August, I think I'd done a revamp of the website for the Scottish League starting. And on it, I was, along with the free limited card that you get, I was prepared to give anyone one extra limited card. And I got a polite email, very polite email, basically just saying, you're not allowed to incentivize signups. And I went on immediately and changed my website. And yeah. I offered the things that could not be measured. So I offered, if you wanted Zoom calls on building the gallery, and you wanted tutorials on playing the game, and you wanted tips on players to pick up that you could hopefully make money off of, i.e. buying them and then reselling them for a higher value, I was prepared to do that as my added value proposition, none of which affected the game, none of which involved handing over any sort of monetary incentive. There wasn't payment, there wasn't Ethereum, there wasn't cash. I think I probably have signed up, I don't know, 20, 30 people or something like that over the course of a couple of years. I know most of them. I hope and that most of them enjoy playing the game. The reason I signed them up was so that they could enjoy playing the game and hopefully have some fun, win some prizes and make some money, which has been proven to be the case so far. However, I've also seen, and not meaning the name drop or put MD in the sort of in the brown stuff, but I think it was MDJ or MJD, something. There was an account that used to be really, really active, and they used to offer, I think it was a card, and I think there was maybe a monetary offer, and again, they were hauled up, hauled over the coals. That's got to stop with immediate effect. And all of a sudden, your proposition is the same as everybody else, the way it should be. Now, if we're in a position, like we say, where guys are able to offer whatever they want, well, do you know what? I've got three bits of sports memorabilia. I've got George Best's autograph signed, which is, you know, he won the Ballon d'Or, you know, a long, long time ago, but he's also dead, which probably adds value to it. I've got Diego Maradona's autograph on a sign, on an actual ink on a photo from his trip to Scotland. Yeah, given to me as a gift. Now, don't get me wrong, I would never sell it. But one of the things I do have that I'd be more than happy to sell, that's sitting, and it's probably sitting maybe about 100 yards from me in a cupboard, is the 1972 Rangers signed scarf when they won their European trophy. Now, I've got a Rangers supporter that was at the work. He does the Rangers podcasts, or he helps in relation to them, I think. And he said, that's probably worth about 15 grand. And I went, oh, it's, you know, it's sitting and it's been gathering dust. And I got it from a footballing relative many, many moons ago. Do I just put that up for grabs? And just specifically approach the Ibrox faithful? You know, they've got 44,000 season ticket holders. I'm sure they've got, what is it, 500,000 Twitter followers. Do I put that prize up for grabs if it's a free-for-all? You know, that's the question, hypothetically, I'm asking. I'm not a way to do these things.
Russ,
but that's where I'm at with it.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, wholeheartedly agree. It can't be a rule for one and a rule for others. Now, these cards are being given to the winners by Serere. So these, the person that won yesterday's from Holly doesn't have his card yet. It was announced earlier in the day and he hasn't got his card yet. And this this messy one, I'd put money on the fact it's not in the gallery. And again, it'll be coming through from Serere and it'll come through like a reward. Now, that's all fine and well. You're looking at different audiences, so you're probably seeing a different gradient in terms of, you know, somebody with 82,000 followers and somebody with 1 million are getting monstrously different cards to give away. However, I've no problem with that. Again, it's, you know, if you're incentivizing people to get on the platform, brilliant. You know, you'll need a Serere account if you join this one, blah, blah, blah. No problem. You cannot make it a stipulation that if you sign up, you can enter this competition, because that is incentivizing people to join the platform. You can't do that. That is absolutely an affront to everybody who has played by the rules. I've been an affiliate now for, what, about 18 months? More than that, maybe?
But all of us, you, me, you know, Quinny, guys like that knock out content constantly, that can't give away things. It's not fair on us.
It's not fair. It's completely unfair to everyone. Now, unless they come to all the affiliates and say, you know, here's a card for you to give away, because they've done that before. Do you remember they did it? I think it was maybe when the Limiteds launched, or there was something along those lines, and we all got a couple of cards to give away. If we did a little video or we did some sort of promotion for it, we all got a card. And it was everybody, and we all got the same two cards, and we were able to give them away to followers. Brilliant. That's great. All the cards I've given away, Russ, bar those two, I've spent my money on, and I've given them away for free without an incentive on it, or I've won them. But I've done it without, you know, sign up on my link.
Ditto, yeah.
It cannot be a rule for one and a rule for another. If it is, and this is the avenue we're going to go down, I'll be quite public about it. I'll find a good incentive that I can give to everybody. Not, you'll maybe get this if you sign up. I'll give it to everybody. I'll do the same thing for everyone. You know, whether I financially incentivize them, whether I give everybody a card, you know, or what team do you support? Perfect. Here's a player from your team.
Yeah. I'll do the bus. Free trip on the bus with you.
Free trip on the bus. I'll get a coffee and a donut for you for coming
from
on. Just tell us what kind you like.
From Greg's.
Do you know what? I'll go mental. I'll go Fisher and Donaldson. But in all fairness, you cannot have one rule for one rule for the others. And if it's this wide open, they would have no legal recourse to say that this isn't okay for everybody else. You cannot under any circumstances have one rule for one and one rule for the other. It's an absolute nonsense, and I genuinely hope this gets back and it is heard, because I will happily just scrap it and I'll just do referrals and I'll get my unique card. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I could we could both have done that by now. tenfold.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And it's just an absolute affront. I've spent a lot of time. I've got, it was 8,300 followers from this domain, this community, Surreal. Not from FIFA or FPL or, you know, Jimmy's Takeaway Appreciation Society. I've got mine from Surreal's community. Now, yeah, that's not maybe helpful for them building that gallery further or what have you. But I've helped build awareness. I've helped people get on board. I've helped people go and buy players that I've advised over the last better part of 2 years to go and have a look at these players. And guess where a lot of those players are being bought from, Russ? And what I recommend a lot in the videos, from the auctions, from Surreal directly, because you'll usually get a better deal when you're buying them in the auctions than you do from the market quite often. Yeah. So I often tell people, go and buy them from there. It's just an affront. And I am genuinely, I sent an email on Saturday. I had no response today whatsoever. I was hoping to have something before I came on the podcast to maybe put it in a different view. But quite frankly, if it means that I lose my affiliate status for speaking like this, honestly, don't give a toss. It's not fair to people who have worked hard, who have spent a long time dedicating themselves to this platform, to be slapped in the face with people just from outside the community, outside the genre, saying, oh, by the way, here's a £100 card you could win if you sign up on my link. No, not on. Absolutely not on. And it's not fair. And I guarantee you this would be contested under any circumstances. You know, if you were to lose your affiliate and, you know, it cost you X amount of money, I've made four figures. I've said on the podcast before how much I've made off my affiliate. And because it's my business, I don't, you know, it's not, you know, proprietary. It's my business. I'll say what I've earned from my business.
To Avon in that respect. Yeah,
but no, it's my business. It's my proprietary information. If I want to say how much I've earned off it, I'll say how much I've earned off of it. It's four figures. It's mid four figures. And it's, you know, and it, but I've worked hard for that and I've not spammed my link once. Apart from tonight now, because it's a free for all apparently. It's nonsense, Russ. It's got me pretty wound up before I'm going to my bed. But have you anything else to add? Because I think we're probably going to go around in circles just saying the same thing.
No, you know what, guys?
This is a shit show and you need to address it and address it quickly. Because otherwise, I'm going to give people, you know, financial incentives to join. And you can't stop me because you've set a precedent on it. And if you try to stop it and you've set a precedent on it, you're in trouble. You cannot have one rule for one rule for another, just because of you know, the number of followers they've got. Not fair.
Fair enough. And I think that probably ends that subject quite. I think we've covered everything. I think we've
everything. I was going to say, you know, normally we finish it off with a Scottish roundup, and I'm just going to point you. I'm running out of voice. I'm running out of energy. I'm just going to point you to Russ's site, scotlandsurreal.co.uk. Russ has been updating the transfers on there. That's where I'm going to point you if you want to go and have a look at any latest transfer information, Russ. I think that's probably fair. We've run over an hour, I think, already. We're trying to keep this one short, but I think, to be honest, when you've got a passion about something and you're getting a slap in the face, you're probably going to be a bit passionate about that slap in the face. So,
yeah, I've got one final thing that I'll be honest, it's a bit of a negative. It does obviously take us off a different course from what we mentioned regarding all the affiliation stuff, etc. Like you say, the Scottish stuff, the latest transfers are available on the website, and they're bang up to date, including, you know, Carl Johan Eriksson and Juranovic and James Jago, etc. All these transfers are all on there. It also covers the utility to you. So cards that have lost utility, cards that have transferred utility, cards that have gained utility, and transfers in that have no cards at the moment. The one final thing that I want to cover, and I'm just going to, I know that you're keen, obviously, probably get your bed, as am I, so I'm going to kind of cover this over 5 minutes rather than probably the 15, 20 that it probably deserves for both of our points of view. Maybe you can think about this and maybe give your thoughts next week just on this, but it's boiling down to prize pools and new user disappointment. So I onboarded a user probably about, I don't know, I think maybe about 6 months ago, a guy that I went to school with, been doing well, building up his galleries. He won Underdog in game week 338. So obviously you can go and look for him. His name's Starman75. I don't know where he's picked his name from. He was famous for being fast runner. In fact, he wasn't even particularly famous for it, but he was a very fast runner at the school. Anyway, Yogi, I know you'll be listening. You finished first. Congratulations. Our little group chat, elation for you. Excitement up until Tuesday morning on opening your card and winning your prize. So for winning first on Underdog, there's no Ethereum, as we know. It's just basically a card, but it was a star rare. So we're looking through the star rares. The entries for the competition were, let's be honest, relatively light. However, he won Angus Gunn, who lost his shirt 2 weeks ago to Tim Krul at Norwich. Not a playing keeper with immediate utility. Now, Angus Gunn, I had a little look on Sarir Data, and he has dropped roughly to a third of his value in the last 10 days. So that's since the 13 days, sorry, beg your pardon, from the 10th of January. And I said, well, look, do you know what? If you're unhappy with your prize, I do believe there's a way in which you can contact Sarir and ask for a swap. And in this instance, where we're working and living with dynamic prizes that are supposed to reward people, let's be honest, for first place in any competition, you're expecting something that's going to be good and make you really happy, not something that's going to deflate you. Now, this is by no means just the purpose of the pod here to try and get him a different card. It's just to highlight the fact that I actually looked at the top three prizes for Underdog that week. Third place was Sebastian Schonlu from, I think it's Hamburg he's in, Bundesliga 2. This is a card that has a last 15 of 60. I had a look, and out of his last 29 scores on Sarir Data, 22 of them were over 50, and a lot of them, in the majority, were over 60 or 70. In other words, an excellent card. That was the third place prize. The second place was Benjamin, I think it's Lecomte, do you pronounce it, or Lecomte? Yep. He was been on loan at Espanyol from Monaco, and he lost the shirt. So that's a second place podium card that's lost the shirt. However, you could argue that although it's a backup goalkeeper, Lecomte's actually had a lot of links. He's about to move to Montpellier. So the value of the card for the rares is still up around about 0.6. Which incidentally is more than Angus Gunn, who was in first place, a surprise. So again, is the person that's dealing with the tiering of the cards and the prizes, are they up to date? Are they up to date to 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago? Personally, I'd like to see a little bit more transparency around it.
As a point in that, Russ, right? I'm just looking at it just now on Sarir Data, because you can go in and look at the rewards and it gives you the valuation. Now, I don't know when this valuation is set. I'm guessing maybe when the prize pool was set or what have you. But it's shown here as Angus Gunn as being 0.603. Now, I know clearly on the market just now he's down to like 0.4.
Yeah.
I don't know what his actual sales have been, but the actual transfer market is 0.4. Which you're absolutely right. It's
a backup goalkeeper now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's lost his shirt. And you would think that, you know, there's a process for that. I mean, obviously, when boys have been injured and things like that, you can clearly see that the value is the same, or it's actually less than the second place price.
Yeah. Not just the value, Chris. Like, you know, when I was speaking to the guy, and he was like, is there a process here? I says, yeah, you can contact them and ask. Now, he's had a response saying that the three don't swap cards. And I've seen that response in writing in black and white.
Oh, it's not
and
true.
Then I put it on Twitter. And then there's people that are saying that they've had swaps from Sarir. So again, you know, miscommunication. Does the person that's written the response to him not actually know the rules? Maybe they've not been told. So, you know, play devil's advocate. Maybe they're unaware, or maybe unaware of that process or whatever. But again, it's like a slight rule for some and rules for others. And by no means, I'm not meaning that against the guys that have managed to get the swaps, because they're just, to my knowledge, just community members that just basically were disappointed heavily with their prize.
Yeah.
And I know that 4 or 5, no, in fact, probably longer, it's about 10 weeks ago, I kind of looked, remember, I think I was really disappointed with one of my under 23 cards. I got lucky with it in the end. But at the time when I got it, for finishing fourth place, I was like, wait a minute, this is really quite low value. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I've seen it quite a few times. I've seen it mentioned a lot on social media, and I'm just wondering at what point in the value in the cards is there somebody actively, I think, especially with goalkeepers, I know not so much with the outfield players, but is there somebody actively with the goalkeepers when they're looking at these pools and they're looking at the tiers of stars and tier ones, etc., looking to make sure these guys are still playing? Hey, I'm one of Angus Gunn's biggest future fans. When he finally takes the, you know, takes the oath and switches his allegiance to his father's country. So obviously his dad's Brian Gunn, that used to play in the goal for Scotland. That's from, I think it's from Thurso. Another one from Thurso. I'm sure Gary Mackay-Stevens was mentioned last week. He's from Thurso. Said, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, you know, Angus Gunn could be a future Scotland goalkeeper for all we know. Who knows? But, and I'm a big fan, but I'm just looking at the prize pool and thinking, he's immediately thought, oh, brilliant, I've got a keeper. And he's like, oh, but he's not playing. He's got no utility out of a prize for first place. First place.
I don't really understand how they could say that they don't do swaps when it's widely known that they do. So that'd probably be worth a go back with. Whether it's maybe people are speaking to the wrong people or whatever, I don't know. But it's it definitely happens. We've seen examples of it. I would definitely be suggesting he goes back and has a look at those. I did see your post tonight, so hopefully maybe one of those can give an actual contact as to who they spoke to, and you could put them in touch with that. But yeah, it's been a kind of, you know, one of those episodes, guys, where we've kind of had to speak about some things that are fairly brutal. And yeah, you know, we're not nodding dogs and yes men, as some people seem to think. You know, when things need called out, we're going to call it out. We've said that from the start. We have done it in the past. And I'm just, you know, we're both pretty hacked off at where things are just now within the platform when it comes to that sort of thing. We're into the 91st minute of the Darvel-Aberdeen game and they're hounding the referee for a penalty right now, and Majovski's just got himself booked, and I'm surprised he's not going to get sent off if he keeps going here. But they're losing 1-0. I'm really sorry, Weaselmont, but 1-0 with minutes to go is brutal. But I remember, was it last year or the year before? It was during the pandemic when Dundee were down to Bonnyrigg Rose, I believe it was. We were down at home by a goal to nil into stoppage time, and we won 2-1. It was the harshest of things for Bonnyrigg Rose. But this would be monumental, and it surely would be the end of Jim Goodwin as Aberdeen manager. I can't see how he would stay with this one. So yeah, that's it. And at the moment, Darvel are on the attack. 3 minutes to go. Russ, let's just see this one out. We'll see 3 minutes of this game out and then we'll call it a day. Quickly, is there any other news for Scotland then? Very quickly, we've got a couple of minutes just to see this game out so we could see if there's a way to be a near riot here in Darvel.
Well, I think if Aberdeen are beat here, there is no comeback for Jim Goodwin. That has to be the jotters, and the sack. If Frank Lampard can be sacked at Everton for what you would probably class as slightly less, then he has to go. The transfers I've got here, players currently losing utility. There were three this week. Scott Robertson, Celtic to Fleetwood Town, where he's joined mentor Scott Brown, who's the manager down there. He has a card in the game, as does Matty Connolly, the goalkeeper at Motherwell. He's went to Stranraer on loan. Darren Watson from Dundee United has a card in the game. He's went to Forth Athletic, which is lower league in Scotland, on loan. I've also got here, Adam Montgomery got his loan extension, however Matt Penny at Motherwell didn't. Card in the game, I think, for both those guys. Penny's went to, I think it was Charlton Athletic or Ipswich Town. It was one of the two, can't remember. However, three transfers with external utility. We've got James Jago, which is Upin to Hibs. We've got Carl Johan Eriksson, who has went to Norwichland. They've signed two loan players.
Oft! That's some pronunciation there, Russ. I'm going with you on that one.
Yeah, so they've picked up him on pretty much the same week that they've picked up my Emiliano Marcondes from Bournemouth. I'm not sure who the scout is there. It's the two very different sort of tiers of loan signings. However, he's went there. They have a fairly established number one goalkeeper, so unless there's irons in the fire for him to move or anything, which purely I'm just guessing, there's no speculation, I've not seen anything, then that, you know, that's not fantastic news for Ericsson holders. Juranovic has obviously went from a challenger card to a champion card because he's now at Union Berlin from Celtic.
Well, that was a big one, and it was kind of out of the blue, but Union did, because there was a guy I had, was it Reerson? I think he's went to Dortmund, which opened up that space, and then obviously they've quickly went and filled it with Juranovic, so it's quite something.
Yeah, and then apart from that, I think there was, I think we spoke about Crankshaw arriving from Stockport to Motherwell.
Yeah.
And then De Lucas from FC Hakata Livingston was the last one as well. And I've not seen anything else tonight.
Was it Todd Cantwell was finally signed for Rangers? Was that right?
Oh, yeah. Todd Cantwell, sorry, beg your pardon. I've not updated him
so
yet.
So, yeah, that's Rangers finally making moves, but I think they're going to still need several more. But that's, I think this game's now in the stoppage time here, and Aberdeen, Premier League Aberdeen, are going out to sixth tier, I believe. Sixth tier Darvel at the moment. So I'm really sorry, Weaselmont. I'll maybe put a wee disclaimer to you in a DM to ignore the last 5 minutes of the podcast, but this is staggering when a Premier League team who's spent, you know, well, I mean, their striker alone was 800 grand, if rumours are to be believed. To go out to a team that's, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Darvel, but I mean, it's a couple of levels up for pub football. it's quite staggering. And it's done. It's full time. Aberdeen are out of the Scottish Cup. Their 33-year wait to get the trophy back is gone. So with that, guys, with Aberdeen's hope, we will also say goodbye. Take care, and we will speak to you all again next week.